Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We are live at Flowery Branch, guys, and inside the Ticketmaster studios. Mike and I are looking forward to our conversation with Coach today. But as we just said with Andy and Randy, and we'll bring you into the fold here, we've talked a lot about Kyle Pitts. He's going to join us a little bit later on this afternoon. I've been saying I think he's the most important piece because he opens up so many other things with this offense.
Right.
And I'm not going to say last week you saw it. I think Kurt did what he needed to do. But, Mike, I need more of what we saw with Pitts because I do think that it makes Drake's job easier. It makes Darnell Mooney's job right. easier. And Bijan Robinson, I think, too, if you have to focus on eight. So we're excited because we're going to get a chance to chop it up with him coming off of a great game against the Buccaneers.
Right. And, guys, as Carl says, I used to say that these guys never hear the chatter. Well, ask him if he hears the chatter. You know, ask him if he hears this stuff, you know, because, you know, as a fourth-round pick, and I know some guys feel we're too hard on him, but as Carl just said, he's got to be a big part of this offense moving forward. And is this now the door has been kicked open and more of this is going to happen, including this week in Carolina? Let's certainly hope so.
Well, you know, Mike, we talked about it like in the offseason, right? Is he healthy? We kept asking everybody. Zach Robinson, coach, right. his teammates, is he healthy? Does he look healthy? And everybody was like, yep. Then the season starts. And we're not getting the kind of production. So we're wondering, just like with Kirk Cousins, is he 100%? What's going on? And I think this was a game where you could arguably say the route running, Mike, you mentioned it was great. He was holding on the balls. I mean, he was targeted, guys, I think 7 times or 8 times. He dropped – I think he missed one pass in that game against the Buccaneers. So he was holding on to everything. But this is a big part of what this offense is going to do moving forward. I think it's going to be a big afternoon against Carolina for Drake London, Mooney, and Pitts, to be quite honest with you, because I think they're going to have plenty of opportunities in this this game against this defense, this Carolina defense. So I want to see him build on it, but I'm looking forward to talking with Kyle Pitts. I told Mike, I said, he probably, when was asked, hey, Dukes and Bell, coming up here, yeah, I want to be on with those fools,
right?
You know, so we'll see. At the end of the day, I think more than anything, if this offense is going to be one of the best in the NFL, what you saw at the end of the game last week, all of that kind of has to percolate, right?
Right.
Kurt has to be great with decisions. You got to get your playmakers the ball, and then they got to make plays. I mean, who had Hodge running that last touchdown and running away from five guys?
You know, I don't know how many Falcon fans have watched that highlight about 6 or 7 times. Every time I got a cool game, and that's the thing. I've still got the Eagles game on the DVR, still got the Saints game, and definitely got the Bucks game. But that throw where there's a risk involved with that. You know, the corner had some leverage, the DB had some leverage, and then whoop! I mean, Cousins. We talked about, is he 100%?
Yeah.
He throws that Jesse in there, man, and then he's able to turn, and Hodge just finds that, like, eighth gear, it seemed like. So that's fantastic. We just need more of that. I know Carl – not like Carl was being critical of the Falcons. We talked to guys on Twitter and all the social media yesterday. We're just saying you can't have a letdown against an opponent that you're clearly better than coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, listen, I just feel like this is one of those games where you learn about – Andy Reid doesn't lose these games, okay? There are certain coaches around the league that you look at their history and you say, hey, we have a lesser opponent and we are good. When they've had good teams, they're guys that don't lose these games. And so we're going to learn about our team a little bit. And you know, not that they won't be ready, but this is a situation where you're feeling really good after seeing your quarterback throw for 500 yards, Mike, and being the talk of the NFL. Hell, Kirk Cousins named the NFC Player of the Week or whatever,
right.
And rightfully so. But all of that stuff's got to go out of the window. And I want to see us go to Carolina from start to finish, from the kickoff to the end of the game, control everything. Line of scrimmage, points, run the ball better, stop the run. Like, I want to see a complete game where you go, okay, I feel really good about where we're headed.
And Chuba Hubbard, as we said, one of the bright spots for Carolina. He is, if you got him in fantasy football, he's a top 10 guy right now as far as, you know, his usage rate and getting yards per carry. So, and they got to lean on him, knowing that, you know, Andy Dalton is your delivery system. Their receiver core has been banged up over much of the season, and they just lost their center to a torn bicep. So we got a lot of things that are pointing in our direction. That's why Carl says, it's a trap.
It is.
Make sure that you just go down, or go up there, I should say, 85, and just stomp their guts out.
Bijan Robinson, I know we're going to get an injury update from Coach. You know, what do you think about how you'd use him in this game?
If he's not 100, then just let Algier do the thing. And we talked about this. Algier, boom, 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 catching balls. That's one thing he wants to and he can do. So there are elements. Look, Bijan is certainly more explosive, but Tyler checks a lot of those boxes too and some of the things you want to call if Bijan is in fact banged up with a hammy.
If he is, Bijan's averaging 4.3 yards a carry. Tyler Algier is averaging 5.4 yards a carry. So a little bit more. He's got a lot less carries, 67 to 33, but his per average, Mike, is about a yard higher than Bijan right now. I don't think we'll see what Coach says about his health and all that. I know he's been limited the past few weeks, and maybe that's the case this week, but I do think that's something we're watching. The main thing for me, guys, is we're up here live at Flyer Branches, Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com. Do we stop the run? And it's not just about this week. Listen, I know it's been a while, but the Steelers torched us 431 yards. The Eagles had over 150 yards on us. Okay,
some of that was obviously Jalen Hurts.
Correct, right? You had that extra guy. The Chiefs came in and ran 428. Saints broke us off 430. We have to do a better job of stopping the run. It's not just about this week. We've been able to maintain and win these games, but, Mike, that's kind of a weak area right now.
Look, you know, look, Taysom Hill just is a one-man gang against us, too, and we weren't able to do as well against Kamara as certainly the Chiefs did, if you saw on Monday night. They really took Kamara out of the game, and then secondhand, they were able to handle Olave, too.
The Saints are weird, man. I mean, you're right with Taysom Hill. When he went out the game, to be honest with you, I was kind of like, because the way he was playing and what they were doing with him.
He's our kryptonite, man. Always has been.
And, you know, they didn't have him for this Chiefs game. He was out, and you kind of saw it. And then Derek Carr tried to do whatever, but he's such a major player to what they do. But the Saints are banged up. This is a big division game for us because, again, I do think Carolina's the worst team in this division. Arguably, Mike, the worst team in the NFL.
Right.
Go handle it. You would be 3-0 after Sunday's game in this division, and you are sitting in first place in control.
I know a lot of Falcon fans are going to make that trip up there. We'll talk about that later in Guy Talk, because, man, I want to.
Are you going?
You know what? It's like I'm going out to Athens on Saturday, told you. I got some decent tickets, because it's not the most expensive game with Bulldog versus Bulldog.
Mistake.
I just, man, that traffic of 85 wears me out. And then if you try to fly it, it's like, you're not going to fly it 3 hours. You know, that's like by the time you get to the airport, I could be in the car and be up here.
Be up here, yeah.
You know, I just, man, that traffic just – it's that last 45 minutes where you're up. It's like, and then they drop the speed limit to 55, and I'm just like,
construction zone.
Yeah, and I'm just like, angry man. So I'm going to watch this one on TV. It'll be a day of quiet reflection, as our traffic man Will Garris says on Sunday after going out to Athens.
Yeah, and it's a 4:25 start, guys. So, right. I mean, you know, go to church, do whatever you do Sundays, but you'll have plenty of time to settle in.
Going to Tampa for the Bucs game, just hoping there's a Tampa to go to. And thoughts and prayers. I heard Steak and Sandra talking about it earlier, and it looks like that storm is – I've got friends down in Naples and Fort Myers that are all, like, literally, like, got the rosary beads out right now, hoping that it does weaken before it makes landfall.
Yeah.
Which will be later tonight or this morning.
To see some of the reactions, and to your point, you know, we got people down there as well, and they've evacuated because you go through this enough. But my whole thing is you see people who had to deal with Helene, and you turn right back around, and now you're dealing with this. Mike, this is the kind of stuff that – you know, if you're anxious, you know, it drives you to anxiety, but it also makes people want to leave, period.
Right.
Like, and I'm done with this.
It's funny because, you know, we rent a house every summer with all our friends, and we do the fishing trips with the guys. And it's funny, we were down there at Anna Maria Island, which has been devastated, and that's another one coming right at it up there in Bradenton. But, you know, south of St. Pete, you know, Indian Rocks Beach, all those guys. As you just said, they're still shoveling sand out of their house, and here comes another storm coming their way.
Yeah, it's tough, man. So, again, we got really lucky. I said that after, you know, Helene went through here and was just a little left of where it could have been. And, you know, you saw fall and you see all the damage in the Carolinas. But, yeah, certainly thinking about the folks down there in Florida. Hopefully this thing just, you know, flies through and it doesn't do as much as they hope it does. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're live at Flyer Branch. We're going to get a chance to talk to Raheem Morris. We're just talking about the Falcons getting ready for the Carolina Panthers. We know Andy Dalton's going to start. We know he was the first quarterback this year to throw for 300 yards, three touchdowns. He did it against the Raiders, but we know he's capable. Doesn't mean that we are going to allow him to do that. And I think one of the things, Mike, you know, I know you want to talk about the pressure of getting to the quarterback, and we'll get into this with Raheem, but do you bring more blitzes now that we're at a point, we're five games in?
I think this is kind of how Jimmy Lake operates. It's a little, I mean, I don't want to say it's Dan Quinn-like because that kind of gives people the heebie-jeebies, but you know, there's a little bit of that style to it. You know, we've seen the edge rushers drop back in coverage, which I know wears me out and wears you out.
Sure.
But I just wonder if you know, he's going to pick his spots the way that the DQ kind of did. And, you know, we talked about, you know, what's up with our defensive coordinator, Zach, you know, Robinson. Now we're learning to see, you know, how, you know, Jimmy Lake handles these, you know, situations. We talked yesterday, if you missed the show, about do we have that other guy, or is it the way Jimmy Lake, to your point, is using Ebba Cady and Lorenzo Carter? Because, you know, production, you know, by now these guys should have a couple of sacks based on what they did last year.
Yeah, we'll ask and see what the thought is there. I know week to week things change, but if you're going to get those numbers up right now, I feel like the only way you're going to do is to bring extra pressure.
If you're winning, that's fine. But, you know, as you said, you just need it. I mean, it's being dead last in the NFL after adding Matthew Judon. I don't think something we expected 5 weeks into the season.
No, I did not. We're going to talk about this when we come back, but the Dogs have made a decision, and I think this is Kirby. Kobe Young, we spoke about this yesterday. The wide receiver at Georgia has been suspended indefinitely. This is the update that was been given today by Kirby Smart on the transfer wide receiver from Miami, Mike. And we said, you know, this is at minimum that we expected to happen. We didn't know how soon it would happen. Were they going to wait until after this weekend? What was going to happen? They don't wait. And I think this is the right decision. But Kirby said, got a chance to speak to him this morning. He's been suspended indefinitely until this legal matter is resolved.
Now, again, that doesn't mean there's a rush to judgment. We talked about it yesterday for guys who missed it. As we said, just the optics are bad. You know, we believe everybody, as they should be, is considered innocent until proven guilty. And there's generally three sides to every story. But you still have to deal with this because it's still the big picture. It's another black guy on the program until it's settled.
No doubt. And, you know, Kirby repeated himself at the end of that statement, Mike. Obviously a really tough situation, but he's been suspended indefinitely until the legal matter resolves itself. He wants to make sure that Georgia, the university, and certainly the program doesn't put anything out there and say anything that you know, they don't need to. But now, what do you do? And I say this, you know, it's not as if – I know I want to hear everybody say next man up, but this is a guy you went and got in the portal to do exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, Miami receiver that is big. And it's funny, we talk about some of these other guys around the league. You're seeing Ohio State this weekend goes to Oregon. We were talking about this earlier today. They've got a tremendous wide receiver. We've already seen – yeah, I'll say it because it triggers dog fans – a 17-year-old receiver who's better than anybody that they've got at Alabama. And so, look, it's okay if you feel you need to go to the portal. That's what it's there for. You don't live by it like FSU. You augment it. But here's a guy that right now is not with the program.
All right, more to get to, including a big meeting in college football we have to tell you about that could ultimately...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Ultimately change how college football operates. We'll get to that and much more. We're live at Flyer Branch. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at Odyssey.com. You know, it hurts me to say this, But it looks like the Mets are getting hot at the right time. And we saw those Padres in the playoffs with our Braves. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And everyone we had talked to said that was the most dangerous team heading into the playoffs because of their talent, their lineup, the pitching. They got a chance to eliminate the Dodgers, which would be great. But, Mike, the Mets right now, I mean, Phillies all season long, just like us last year.
Right.
Get in this situation, and now all of a sudden the Mets look like they're gonna do this.
Yep, and if you didn't see the game last night, Bryce Harper, he did have an RBI, but he also had some opportunities to come up big, and he could not deliver against Mets pitching. And Lindor had a big double that was a huge. If you didn't see it, Manea was really good last – if you didn't see the game last night, was really solid. Got out of some jams. Manager stuck with him in some tough spots. So now 7-2, and now the Phillies on the verge of being eliminated. Afternoon game, crowd's going to be hyped up there at Citi Field because obviously they're dying for this kind of action. And Alonso, who's getting kind of maligned, much like Matt Olson. Chris pointed out, our producer, a great point that, you know, Olson had, you know, stat-wise, okay, and, you know, kind of came to back to his baseball card, but you don't have, like, those signature moments, and Alonso had the same kind of season, and then, boom, he's really caught fire now in the postseason. The craziest thing, and you and I were talking about this before the show, we knew there was a lot of bad blood with the Padres and the Dodgers, and you and I were talking before the show, if you didn't see the play, Freddie Freeman fields a grounder, maybe going to be a double play. It's going to be a 1-6-3, or when the pitcher comes back and covers. And Machado basically runs into the infield grass towards the pitcher's mound, and the ball hits off him. And I'm like, that's got to be interference. And it's not. And this morning I saw Harold Reynolds on MLB Network going, I mean, they got to change that rule. And I forget who the other dude was on was saying, if I'd known that, I would have done the same thing. It's, you just didn't pass the eye test. You can't go doing that on the first baseline, but they give you more leeway apparently going first to second and second to third.
Well, I thought that the umps right there, there was no recourse by the umpires. And they put the pressure on, you know, he put the pressure on the umps to do something. They didn't do anything. I think hardcore baseball fans, Mike, were doing exactly what we were doing, like looking around going,
that can't be right.
Is that legal?
That can't be right.
And I think the casual fan just thought he avoided
the
play. Like, oh, well, he's going to be fine. He's going to be safe. Long story short, I think MLB is going to look at that. And they do not have a competition committee like the NFL, okay?
Nope.
So there's not a group of guys at the end of the season or men or women or whatever that sit down at a table and say, hey, we got to look at this particular play or whatever. But this is something moving forward they definitely have to address. But, yeah, it was weird. But I'll say this about the Padres. And I'll bring it back to our Braves. It's something I didn't think we had. Maybe it's different if we are completely healthy this year because winning gives you swag. But when I watch these Padres, you talk about grabbing yourself. These guys are like, what's up? We're here. You can't do anything about it. You're going to pitch to us. We're taking you out of the park. Like, they are the bravado, Mike.
It reminds me of those 93 Phillies, remember, that came up short in the World Series.
Yes.
Beat the Braves in the NLCS. But that's the thing. I said to you at the end of the show yesterday, clearing our throat, Machado's the kind of guy you want to punch in the face, but you'd love to have him on your team. And, yes, I was joking around with you. Yes, I'll bring it back to Arcia and what happened last year. You know, Manny Machado and the Padres would not allow what Bryce Harper and the Phillies did to them. Now, I know the nerds will say, well, yes, but that doesn't affect the hot or cold bats. Okay, yes. Yes, nerds, I get it. But, I mean, there's just things you can't quantify. Like, don't get punked. You know, you just have an amazing win that almost felt like a loss because the Philadelphia Phillies turned into a thing. And, again, I know they didn't go – they went one series farther than us. They didn't get to the World Series. But that's the stuff that you want to have. The Dodgers look soft as hell right now.
They do.
You know? And I love it. And I can't wait. Look, Dave Roberts, I mean, some people say it's beyond his control that they jam some of the analytics down his throat. I've always felt they underachieve almost every season.
I agree. And
with that payroll.
And here's the thing about Machado, by the way. He backs it up. It's one thing if, and this is what we said about our Braves, you can't have a guy coming off the bench trying to be the Billy blank-blank when he's not one of your stud everyday players who backs it up. It's got to be those guys.
It can't be like a 40-year-old Brian McCann at the end of his career.
No, it can't, even though we love B, and he didn't take any smack from anybody. But that's the thing I'm sensing from San Diego. It's like, we're better than you. We're willing to walk it and talk it. And if you want to do something about it, we can do something about it. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute. These guys aren't joking around. I love that. The attitude they have may lead them to a World Series, on top of the fact that they're very talented.
And the crowd, for those who've never been out there, and I know Boston, New York is always jammed down our throat by ESPN, everything else. But in the West Coast, we think is soft. But San Diego has always lived in the shadow of L.A.
Always.
And for these fans, it's like, I mean, they're dying for this. So it's going to be an electric atmosphere tonight. Can't wait to watch.
I totally agree. 404-726-0929. It's Dukes and Bell live from the Ticketmaster Studios. Raheem Morris is going to join us coming up next hour. Also, Kyle Pitts is on the way. Stay tuned for that as we get ready for Carolina coming up this week on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. By the way, this hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com for all of your man cave needs. Let's talk about this real quick, Mike, as we get into some headlines brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. And coming up in 15 minutes, we're going to talk about where the Falcons are in the Power Index rating. Now, I asked you yesterday, are we a contender? Mm-hmm. Everybody agreed.
And yes.
On our show, Turtle, oh, everybody's like, hell yeah, we're a contender.
Damn right.
All right, we're going to talk about that coming up in 15 minutes and where we are slotted if you look at the best teams right now in the NFL. But, Mike, the SEC and the Big Ten are facing similar challenges, and we had talked about this meeting that was going to happen where they are getting together and throwing around. We're talking about the conference commissioners, right?
Right.
Getting together and talking about what this could look like moving forward for college football. And I think it's a big deal only because we've been saying it and fans have been talking about it, but now you see there's a sense of urgency to maybe do something. And, guys, just like with anything with college football, remember we were like, we'll never have a playoff. Now all of a sudden we got 12. Oh, they're going to expand. That may happen next year.
Right.
I mean, these guys, we're to a point where college football is constantly changing. So there's been speculation that we're going to go from 12 to 14 in 2026. And that's why ESPN's six-year contract worth $7.8 billion kicks in. The SEC hasn't even decided if they're going to do nine games yet, which adds a whole nother element to a potential deal. But the fact that the two conference commissioners got together and they're talking about doing this super conference, keeping the conference alignments, still having the bowl games, playing in a conference or a college football playoff. But, Mike, we're talking about 70 teams, and I just think it's important for us to start discussing this because I think this is where we're going.
Bro, there's a couple of things that, you know, as a guy that you and I have been working together for 10 years, and I've been on this one for years and years, two things. Pitch clock, get the batter in the box, right? That sped up
true,
the game.
True.
Sometimes like you feel like a voice in the wilderness. Oh, shut up, you. But this is when you and I have been talking about it. I said 75, 70, whatever the round numbers you want. And look, I get it. Vandy showed that on any given Saturday, somebody can rise up. But still, that's the exception. We know who the contenders are. The top 25 to 35 or 40 are the guys. And some are always rising or falling. In this case, Florida State's falling. Miami is up. Kansas State is rising. Others are falling.
Oklahoma's falling. Right? Texas is up.
By the way, battle for the Red River coming up this weekend.
Eyes a beat down. Double digits.
I always want to get that fried butter stick. That always sounds really good.
Everything's fried at the fair, dude. Everything.
A fried stick of butter. But anyway, getting back to the college.
Turtle put me on that game, by the way.
This is where it's always should have been. And, you know, people used to argue with me, oh, it'll never happen. You're watching it because the money. And then it creates better competition. The problem is, what do you say if you're a Georgia State? You know what I mean? Or Georgia Southern or somebody. You're kind of getting marginalized. Are the MAC schools still going to be able to get their big paydays? Well, that's, you know, I got to be honest. I don't really care. I just want to see the best football. And if you're a Georgia, you know, season ticket holder or Auburn or Clemson, wouldn't you rather see great opponents every week that matter?
You want this. And here's the catch behind this. Over the last 4 months, they said 25 different athletic directors. So you're probably talking about the most powerful athletic directors at these big football schools we know have seen this presentation of this is what it's going to look like. And everybody's been impressed by it. So now you've got, you know, the ACC, or not the ACC, but the Big Ten and the SEC pushing this, Mike, to make, hey, where are we going with this? How do we make this happen? And what's it going to look like? But the whole presentation part of it has been done. And this is the kicker, Mike. You're talking about Smash Capital, a venture capital and private equity firm with offices in Los Angeles and New York.
Uh-oh.
Okay. They have not been reached for comment, but they are the architects behind this model.
Now, remember, guys, the College Football Playoff Committee has nothing to do with the NCAA. That's its own separate – it's a marketing company. So this would be just a company that it will be marketing these games. There's so much money involved. Now, I hate the idea of private equity getting involved in pro sports or college sport, any sport, because these guys, you know, they're all bloodsuckers and they're vampires, and when things don't go their way, they're going to liquidate. That's why the idea of a program reaching out to private equity – bad idea, because things go south, Carl, they'll be selling the goalposts.
I agree.
You know, and the tackling dummies. But in this case...
But you know what these schools are saying.
It's going to drive it.
Yes, but how do we recoup this money?
Right.
If schools are having to directly pay athletes, which is happening, we know that's going to happen. We know the governor just signed a bill for, you know, Georgia and Georgia Tech, all the schools in the state. How do we recoup this money? What are we going to do? I think that's part of this plan is, let me show you how you recoup this.
How do you come up with a better business model? And, I mean, are these – now, does this – the guys from Wall Street are negotiating the contracts? Because they can do a hell of a lot better jobs than the ACC has done the last couple of years. Another guy hit us up talking about this at the end of the show yesterday on text line, and he was like, well, where do you draw the line? Well, the service academies are out. Sorry.
Air Force, Army, Navy are out.
They're still going to play, but you're right.
You're not in the Big 75 or Big 70.
Yeah.
You know, the good news is Georgia Tech, this is a good year to have your together. You know, I mean, I believe all the Power 5 conferences in total will join this. Well, the Power 4, whatever you have left now, right? Big 10,
yes.
Big 12, ACC. You know, SMU is a good time to join the ACC, isn't it?
It is. We're just talking about this, guys. It's Dukes and Bell.
A lot of moving parts, where the broad strokes are. There's a line. If you're not in, if you're not competitive, you haven't been in the top 25 in 10 years, you're out.
You're probably out. Two things they say this is hopefully going to increase revenue and increase television networks and corporate sponsorships. But they are wanting to consolidate the media rights of these 70 schools under one agreement. So it's not just Georgia. It's not just Auburn. It's the top 70 programs, Mike. Right. Can you imagine what is that number?
I mean, so
what's that worth?
The worst opponent that Georgia plays in a year is West Virginia or Baylor, based on win loss. That's still a net win, because that's still going to be a huge TV number,
yep,
which drives the TV revenue, which gets the Wall Street guys happy, because they're going to be lining their pockets. Everybody's going to make some loot. That's the business model. Better games, better competition.
Yeah, and they're talking about
more interest,
increased revenue of $15 billion over the first 12 years.
Yeah.
That's why you're doing this. And again, nothing has happened. We're just laying the foundation for you. So when you guys start freaking out and calling us and saying, Dukes and Bill, college football, my college football. The Pac-12 doesn't even exist, guys.
Right. The Pac-12 is going to be what? Fresno State and like Nevada? You know, I mean, Boise State. I mean, it is what it is. There's going to be, now some guys are going to get their panties in a twist, as we said, because where do you draw that line for 75? You know what you could do? And this is something, I don't know if private equity feels this is worth doing, because you get a non-traditional program which doesn't have a revenue stream, but you could do it almost like they do in English soccer. You come up, you go down. If you're not at a serious level, you get relegated. I don't know. They want to bank on the marketable programs,
they
basically.
Do. They do. No doubt. More on this as we find out. It's a developing story. We'll see how far it goes and where it goes between now and the end of the year. But I'm telling you right now, this is something that there's smoke there. And certainly they'll be fired soon enough. Hey, Falcons, where are we? Are we the third best team right now in the National Football League? Are we better than the team that came in and beat us?
Well, technically, if the season ended right now, it'd be a really short season, but we'd be the third seed in the NFC playoffs.
We're going to talk about it. Power Index. You think we're a contender? Find out what they think about us next.
Being healthy today on Dukes and Bell, both eating salads. Salads.
Yeah, so my mouth is full right now.
So, a couple of guys hit me up earlier. They're like, where are you tailgating, man? I go, where's your tailgate? I'll come to your tailgate. I'll bring some Hey Man coming up on Saturday for the Bulldog on Bulldog game. How about you, man? I usually roll into Athens, and we just kind of do the pub crawl pregame.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of sponge off Johnny Plops. Because my last home game was 21, and I had to go back and look it up on Facebook. We were there during the 21 season.
Okay.
And we had good seats behind the bench. We got good seats this week. But, I just try to have a sponge and bring beer. I don't want to show up empty-handed at a tailgate. You know, you kind of look like a weirdo carrying a bottle of brown liquor.
Walking around.
How you doing? Especially if you're brown bagging it. But, yeah, I mean, Carl and I think we said the same thing when you were up in Kentucky. We will find you, and we will sponge off.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. It was and a lot of dog fans, I'll tell you, that was a weird game because everybody thought it was just going to be a blowout. And
right.
You know, they have, like, those sections where dog fans were at. It was quiet, I mean, for a while. But the tailgates were great, man. And you know, I'm with you on this. Showing up at somebody's tailgate. And by the way, let's put a poll question up, man. You cannot just show up at someone's tailgate and expect to eat and drink like a king. You have to bring something, give something, offer something. You cannot just roll up and be like, yo, I'm here.
Right.
Like, give me some ribs.
Last year at the Falcons game against the Saints, I brought a six-pack of Hey Man. So my boy Trustee,
yeah,
he took me to some total hoopty tailgate under the bridge overpass.
In New Orleans?
In New Orleans, somewhere off a gravel trap behind some, you know, it was like a salvage yard. You know, you could see, what was that? What's the dumpy arena where the Pelicans play? Like the Smoothie King?
Smoothie King, yeah.
So we're on the other side of that. But, I mean, it's so literally, there's Falcon fans, but you got to show up with some suds. So I had a six pack that I packed on. I just checked my bag, so I came with a six pack of Hey Man. Of course, Saints fans busted chops. You got a DJ spinning.
Okay. Then,
but you can't. But you even with the Saints, you can't show up empty handed.
I totally agree, man. So yeah, Mike's going to a game this weekend, but I'm with you. I feel like you feel obligated. Like, all right, I'll kick it with you, but I got to bring something.
Bingo.
All right, let's talk about our Falcons, man. We're here at the Ticketmaster Studios. Coach Raheem Morris is going to join us. Also, we're going to talk with Kyle Pitts a little bit later. Stick around. We will talk to him about all the things. He had a great game last week. Hopefully, he can continue to build on it. But where are we right now? And I say this because if you believe we are a contender, and I do, Mike does, Turtle, Orrin, everybody on this show, well, the Bills are 3-2, and everybody was just talking about how good they thought the Bills were, and they went in, and the Ravens destroyed them, right? And it's the NFL. And when you have to play in these tough environments sometimes, and you go against these better quarterbacks, but I don't feel like – here's where I'm at with this, and we'll run down some teams. We've not been embarrassed. Every game we've been in has been a one-score game, whether it's us or them, right? We're also 3-2, but so are the Ravens, okay? That's a Super Bowl-caliber team. So are the Bills, right? The Chiefs are undefeated, and we've said this. You can't dispute the 5-0, but you guys know that don't look like the Chiefs. There's something going on there.
Yeah, I mean, I think once again, and maybe they'll make a move for a wide receiver. No way the Raiders are going to trade their arch rivals as far as Davante Adams, but they've always found a way to maybe pick somebody up that'll help them, and, or they just get healthy. You know, and eventually Rashee Rice comes back, and he's good in a couple of weeks. But, yeah, but the Chiefs know how to – we'll take them out of the loop because they know how to do it.
They know how to win.
Texans have not played at the same offensive clip that they did last year. Ravens – you know, Lamar still does stuff that leaves you scratching your head. Should have lost that game.
Should have lost
to the Bengals. And then you take it in the NFC. Vegas certainly doesn't trust Sam Darnold. Otherwise, he'd have been a bigger favorite against the Jets. Commanders, you got a rookie quarterback, and but still, their defense gets a little bit better. We're 3-2, and oh, by the way, in the NFC, we've lost to two AFC teams. We got an undefeated conference record at 3-0. The Seahawks. I know you respect Geno more than I do. I think Geno puts up regular numbers, you know, great numbers in a regular season, but gets a little tight in the playoffs. The Lions, you don't really trust the Lions.
I like the Lions. I think the team that I'm concerned about or that I would be more skeptical about is the Vikings. But the proof is 5-0, right? I do like the Lions a lot. But if you're going to tell me we're not...
Unless Dan Campbell's learned from his previous mistakes.
Correct,
in game management.
Coaching mistakes. But if you're going to tell me as a Falcon fan right now that we're not as good as the Seahawks, I'm going to tell you you're wrong. We're not as good as the Lions or the Packers, who are also 3-2. I know they were out without Jordan Love, but he was back last week. They found a way to get it done. I think you're wrong. If you're telling me we're not as good as the Cowboys, we are. Like, there's nobody, Mike, that jumps out in the NFC right now where you go, man, the Falcons, they're like the sixth or seventh best team. Actually, I think we're top three.
Right. And, guys, we're not saying we're the best. I know you guys, a bunch of homers. No, we're just saying it's the typical NFL. It's what Roselle always wanted, the balance. Everybody's so competitive. It's almost every game would come down to one possession or the final possession of the game. And we'll see if Washington can handle that prosperity like the Vikings.
True.
I love the way they approach their defense. Brian Flores, I mean, just come back with your shield. They're on it, man. I mean, they're throwing everything at the quarterback. And maybe Darnold, this is, you know, the ultimate redemption story.
I'm curious, Mike. We play them later in the year. Two things play out. One, Kirk goes back to Minnesota. Two, do you blitz him like that? Because if you do, you're leaving Drake and Kyle and Darnell and Bijan potentially one-on-one coverage. And I'm not saying that there's some quarterbacks, Mike, I feel like you go after that way. Aaron Rodgers, that offensive
line. In his prime.
Correct. Would have handled that probably better. Where he currently is, and I'm just saying, later in the season, we'll see. I'm curious how Brian Flores approaches that with Kirk Cousins, knowing that Kurt is really good at seeing this stuff and going, okay, you're going to do that? You're bringing seven guys? Cool, I'm going to take advantage of this mismatch out here.
You know what's crazy in the NFC right now? The Rams are the 15th seed. The 49ers are the 14th seed. Now, again, I get it, guys. It's 5 weeks, but it's just testament to the injuries and not playing with clutch football. The Bengals right now are the lowest seed in the AFC.
They're done, Mike. I mean, I don't want to say they'll miss the playoffs because I love Joe Burrow. I think he's a dude. But it's hard to come back from 1-4. It just is.
And you got more games against those same tough guys in that division.
Same teams. 404-726-0929. You guys tell us. Find us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C. Dukes, and this radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. The Power Index, guys. Week 5, everybody's looking at these teams, just like Mike and I are going, okay, who stands out? Give the Vikings credit. I have to say the Lions because they got to the playoffs last year. Okay, great. We sit atop our division in the NFC South at 3-2. I think we're better than Seattle, and I would be willing to take our quarterback over their quarterback, to Mike's point about Geno, in a heartbeat. There's nobody that should scare you. We're going to see the Cowboys in a few weeks, guys. We get Washington. We're going to get a chance to see Jaden Daniels in a few weeks. Like, all of this is going to play out, But as a Falcon fan, you should feel really good about where we're at and the potential of where we can go.
Now, I know certainly in Tampa, they're chirping like, man, do they ever blow that game? Because they went backwards with the game in hand, even though we had three timeouts and we used it perfectly, and then we had the two-minute drill. I mean, that's a game you could argue we may split with the Bucs this season.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we're going to lose, but I'm saying we're evenly matched because that's a good football team that looked like we normally do, like we have looked the last six seasons. We're kind of not doing those stupid things that we used to do. The first game of the season, Carl and I said it yesterday, if you missed it, again, it's just tell me right now if we played the Steelers back here in Atlanta, we wouldn't win that game by a field goal or more.
Yeah.
Because we're just more – we're ready to go. We were so – looking preseason and just so unprepared in that game.
I agree. I feel like it would be a different game. And again, Steelers defense is still really good. But think about the defenses we face. Are we going to face a slew of defenses better than what we've just seen in the first 5 weeks?
Well, the Steelers are still the gold standard as far as the sacks and all that. But the Seattle Seahawks get after it. We'd already talked
about – they got
a good D. Kayvon Thibodeau and they brought up Brian Burns up there. The Giants are leading the NFL in sacks. We're going to see them. You talked about the Cowboys looking to account for Micah Parsons. We got Bosa coming with the Chargers. We got some elite pass rushers we got to handle this season.
Ironically, the Commanders, too, with Dan Quinn's defense is playing really well. And that shouldn't surprise you as much as we despise the fact of what happened here with DQ. Everywhere he's been, his defense has been good. When he was in Seattle, Cowboys, Mike, turnover ratio, and now with the Commanders, they're playing a lot better under him.
If we were handicapping this preseason when the schedule came out back in May, imagine we said a game with the Commanders might be for a big seed, whether it's wild card, division winner, whatever, in the NFC.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. And by the way, they lead the Cowboys, the Eagles. The Eagles are another team. That's just we're done with them, but that's another team. It would not surprise me if Sirianni's fired.
Right.
It would not.
No, it just – their dysfunction – it's not like we're sports talk radio hype and you make it up. You see it. You see it on a weekly basis. They're just a train wreck.
Yeah, but the Commanders, surprise, surprise, 2-0 at home, 2-1 in the conference, and everybody else right now in that NFC East, which everybody's talking about, the Cowboys and Eagles, it's kind of the Commanders thing right now. We'll see where this goes. It's 404-726-0929. Want to hear from you guys. Where are you at? How do you feel right now at this point in the season? And I just have to say, Mike, going back the last few years, we knew we weren't as talented. We understand that. But I didn't feel like this. Like, there's something that's going on with the team that you go, there's a confidence level off of the win we got last year, or last season, or last game, should I say.
Right.
But 3-2, this 3-2 feels a little bit better than what we've had in years past. And we haven't even been at this spot, guys. I mean, hell, we were lucky to be over 500 at the end of the season. So we're in a really good place. And if you ask me right now, NFC, who's the best team? I can't tell you. You go by record, it's the Vikings. But if you ask me where the Falcons are, we're one of the top three teams in the NFC.
Going into week six last year, we were 3-2. We're 3-2 this year. But again, it's amazing the difference. Because with Desmond Ridder, the game that really kind of did it for me, and that's when I was like, I'm done with this. And that was the Jacksonville game over there in the UK, in London. I said, this guy can't hack it. And then we come back, we grinded out that win against C.J. Stroud as his learning curve continued
that's
in week
right.
five. But we were 3-2. We then lost to the Commanders last year.
Didn't feel like this.
No. It just didn't.
It didn't feel like this.
That was Ridder's 300 game.
300 yards.
Loss.
Yeah.
So we're just, guys, and I know there's some dude out there who still got his Ridder jersey, and God bless you, but it's just you got a real big-time quarterback, and it's just a completely different animal. And the games, Carl, the way we won these games. And I think all you're looking for, I think, I don't speak for you, is to have the complete game against a lesser opponent, which we perceive Carolina.
No. That's why I don't want to take this game for granted, nor am I. And I'm saying that as good as we feel, we shouldn't be walking around pounding our chest. Not quite yet. Hell of a game. Exciting. Kirk's the NFC player of the offensive player of the week. All of that is love. But if you're going to lose this Sunday, I'm telling you right now, this is like, what the hell just happened? How can you go from that and that, what we just saw you do, to laying an egg against Carolina, which is one of the worst teams, if not the worst teams in the NFL? That's my concern. So I'm with you. Complete game, control the game. If we do that and we win, and again, I don't care what the score is. I tell you guys all the time, I don't care if we win by a half point. But the point is, if you go win on the road, it's hard. I don't care. All of a sudden, Mike, we're 4-2. Things are looking up.
Right. Now, again, guys, this schedule, as we said, we thought we're through the tougher part. We might find out the second part is actually going to be tougher based on some of the guys and how they're going to play us. But this is a game, no letdown. You know, in the words of Conan the Barbarian, destroy them, Carl. See them driven before you and hear the lamentations of the Panthers fans and David Tepper.
I agree. And by the way, for the Cowboys, here's the deal too, Mike. And I know because we'll see a lot of Cowboy fans at our game because they're everywhere. But Dak didn't play great. Cowboys should have lost that game the other night.
You needed Fields to make one or two throws
correct
down the stretch.
And those are throws that I think our guy can make. Like, those are throws. Right. If you put him in that situation, he's going to make those plays. I'm telling you, Dak has not been – they found a way to win, and at the end of the day, that's all that matters. But, like, the Cowboys don't scare me.
Look, everyone's saying, oh, well, you got a chance to go up against CeeDee Lamb. Well, we already beat Mike Evans and Chris Olave.
Correct. Yes. You've seen some really good wide receivers already. All right, guys. We're live up here at Flyer Brands. We got a lot more to get to. 3 o'clock hour is big because we're going to talk to Coach. We're going to talk to Kyle Pitts as well. We'd love to give you an exact time, but again, they're practicing. Right. So as soon as this stuff happens, you just need to stay here, hang out, and find out what Coach is talking about. Big matchup against Carolina coming up. Also, in this 3 o'clock hour, we'll go around the NFL, our NFL blitz, everybody reacting to the firing of Robert Saleh and who's behind it. Who ordered the code red?
Aaron?
Find out next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.